Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, packed Thursday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It is hot. It is steamy in Los Angeles right now. Very, very, very warm. Unseasonably warm, right?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Like 90 degrees.
It's uncomfortable because you know it's not supposed to be this warm,
yeah.
And it's also... really warm. It's crazy.
I guess we could have hail and snow, so we shouldn't
complain.
Well,
I'm not complaining. It's just, you know, makes you wonder.
So I'm Joy Taylor, of course, the voice of Joy Taylor. 1 hour from now, Greg Koseller, NFL meat sandwich. You know how I love that. I geek out. I nerd out on that. So I'm driving to work this morning, and as I always do when I drive to work, I listen to about 6 different radio shows. I don't care about the takes. I care about what the topics are and, like, what's the nation talking about? What are fans talking about? And I heard a couple of different shows saying, Patrick Mahomes is hurt. He cannot rush back. He be very, very careful about rushing back. Patrick Mahomes, if he can, needs to play against Green Bay. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have healthy players sitting out games because of load management or injured players fighting to get on the field? Which would you prefer? And one of the reasons I like the NFL more than the NBA, and I do love the NBA. I watched 2 games last night, but I like the NFL more is the urgency and the scarcity of games, and games matter, and guys play hurt, and guys are fighting to get on the field like the rest of us in America. You work with a hangover. You work with a cold. You work when you're sick. You got to pay the bills. It's very relatable. I like Jimmy Butler, NBA player. He sat out the season opener last night for personal reasons. That's probably fine in the NBA. I mean, maybe he had something at home, but I've never even heard of an NFL player sitting out for personal reasons. I've never even heard of it. So it's a different sport, and I love this about the NFL. Folks, we're only halfway through the season. Kansas City needs to get the number 2 seed. They're not going to get the number 1 seed. New England's going to get the number 1 seed. They got to get the number 2 seed. They got to play a playoff game at home. They got to win their division. And Andy Reid is unbelievable off a bye. We know that. I think he's the best record in the NFL. This is a team that's got some older players, players that have had injuries. They would need to win their division, get a bye. That makes it easier when you do play New England. Now, I think the NFC is better than the AFC, but don't kid yourself. Buffalo has the second best defense in the NFL. You want to go play at Buffalo? Indianapolis could win their division and have a better record. You want to play Indianapolis? You just lost to them at home. They have the best offensive line, certainly the best young offensive line in the NFL. Houston. You want to go to Houston? Deshaun Watson? I mean, the kid's magic. Their defense up front's very good. You start looking around. Baltimore. You want to play in Baltimore? Really? You want to go play the best, the number 1 points per game offense, the running offense? I mean, seriously, you already beat them, and now they're better. Forget New England. You're not going to get a home game against New England, but you got to get home. You got to win this game. You got to win games. You got to play hurt. The other thing is Mahomes has not been great in these big showdown games in terms of winning. He lost to Goff, remember, on the big Monday Night Football game? He's lost to Russell Wilson on a Sunday Night Football game. He lost to Deshaun Watson this year in a big showdown game. He lost to Tom Brady in a playoff game. He lost to Tom Brady in a Sunday Night Football game. So, I mean, in these big showdown games, he wants to face Aaron Rodgers. He wants to go and face Aaron Rodgers. It's good for him. It's good for the team. It's good for his brand. And they have a chance to win the game. I mean, Green Bay's defense is good. It's not that good. It's not Buffalo good. It's not New England good. Kansas City can win that football game. We have an NFL where Drew Brees is fighting to get back on the field, and his team's yet to lose without him. He's fighting to get back on the field against Arizona when the Saints are favored by 10 against them, and they have a bye after it. There's never been a game that was easier to sit out for Drew Brees. He's fighting to get back on the field. Last year, Deshaun Watson had to take a bus to a game. He couldn't fly. It was a 10-hour bus ride because he was injured. Like the bar's been set in the NFL. There's no load management in the NFL. There's too few games, too much scarcity, too much urgency. You got to play. And Chris Carter talked about it this morning, the Hall of Famer. This is what this league is all about.
The reason why the league is what it is in this brutal sport, guys have played through being injured and chancing their career. That's what the league is made on. Just as you were shocked that he was at practice yesterday, I'll be shocked if he's not under center on Sunday, especially after participating in a Wednesday practice that you don't have to.
He should play, he will play, and they have a chance, if he plays, to win. And Kansas City needs the win. Let me shift gears to Baker Mayfield. I was not going to criticize Baker Mayfield this week. I think they'll be okay against New England, won't win, it'll be close. Baker Mayfield, this story's now like 2 weeks old, right? Like he shouldn't be talking about a game that was, you know, weeks old. He should be talking about New England. That's where his focus should be, right? That's what New England does. What's the old famous saying, Bill Belichick, on to Cincinnati? New England on a short week could be a little vulnerable. The Cleveland on a bye has a chance here to make it interesting at New England. That's what Baker should be talking about. Anything else? Guys, it's on to New England. That's what the smart quarterbacks do. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Andrew Luck when he played, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, we're talking about the next game. Here's Baker Mayfield still complaining this week about the officials, you know, 10 days ago.
One, I wouldn't say it's complaining when it was blatantly obvious. I'd say that's just stating facts. Freedom of speech, I thought, you know, it's okay, but I get fined for it. It's the league. That's what they do. They fine you for some ridiculous things. It's just how it is. But there's a reason everybody's talking about it. I knew I was going to get fined, but it needs to be said. People have to be held accountable for their job. When it affects my job, it sucks because it's not in my control.
Time out. People need to be held accountable? You goof. You lead the NFL in interceptions. You're somebody that needs to be held accountable. Cleveland's got an excellent roster. Star receivers, star running back, star pass rusher, great corners. A rookie head coach who needs your support. Held accountable? Who are you kidding? You were terrible against Seattle. You lost the game. You need to be held accountable. And nobody's talking about it. Players, star quarterbacks in this league aren't banging on the refs. They've moved on. You're talking about it. And freedom of speech. Do you understand what the First Amendment is? Did you go to class at Oklahoma? Freedom of speech protects us from our government, not from being fined from the National Football League, you goof. Held accountable? This is what I said. Johnny Manziel, Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield. All talented. I said, I don't trust his judgment. I think he's got lousy judgment. Quarterback's about judgment. Okay, NFL leader in interceptions, running from cops, throwing footballs at people in college. That's just judgment. That's just really terrible instincts. Taunting the refs before New England. You understand refs are human? Do you understand? Do you ever watch? You ever notice this? Before an NFL game, have you ever noticed the veteran coaches go up to the refs, put their arm, hey, good seeing you, Bob. Good seeing you, Jack. Jim, good. How's the family over there? You ever notice that? You ever see Mike Krzyzewski, John Calipari, Duke and Kentucky before big games, smiling? How are you doing? Haven't seen you since last year at Clemson. Because refs are human. You're playing a defense that is the best historically ever in their place. And you're taunting the refs. You should be sending the refs gifts. Watch coaches in college basketball. They're sucking up to the refs before tip-off. Even Bobby Knight used to do that. He may yell at him during the game. He was sucking up before the game. Belichick. I've talked to NFL coaches about, hey, how you doing? How's Margaret? How are the kids? Are they doing all well? That's what you do. They're human beings. You can call it, you know, you can call different things. I'm not saying refs are on the take, but they're human. You're taunting New England. You're taunting the refs. What are you doing? This is what worried me about him. Nick Wright talked about this morning. You're talking about people being held accountable. You got a rookie head coach. You got a super talented roster. You got a GM that rolled the dice on you. You have an owner that rolled the dice on you. You were a two-time walk-on. You had a police video. They rolled the dice on you. You were not the highest-rated quarterback on most boards. Cleveland took a chance with a two-time 5'11.5 walk-on who runs a 4.8 40. They're hoping they can depend on you. And you're talking about accountability, freedom of speech, and the refs 2 weeks ago? Nick Wright this morning on First Things First.
Instead of trying to fight City Hall, try to fight the opposition by not giving them extra possessions. Baker's played 6 games this year. In 0 of those games has he thrown multiple touchdown passes. But in 3 of those games, he's had 3 turnovers. In all of those games, wow, he's had at least 1. He's got 5 touchdowns to 11 picks, and since he's taken over the team, he has 25 interceptions and 19 starts. That's disastrous.
You know the other thing? With young quarterbacks, I try not to crush them for, you know, their rookie years. You can't even count them. Like I always say, first year, I don't even care about it. Like if they do something interesting, you're like, wow. Every time Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott talk, young, and Dak's still pretty young. Have you noticed this? Whenever Lamar Jackson talks, whenever Dak Prescott talks, it's about team. They blame themselves. I'm not good enough. I mean, Lamar Jackson's like, I heard the critics, and I think a lot of what they said was right, so I put on weight. Lamar Jackson is blaming himself. Always. Baker's always blaming somebody else. Stop asking the refs to be held accountable. You need to be held accountable. Your franchise and everybody in it rolled the dice to acquire a 2-time walk-on with a police video. They took a big chance on you. Stop talking. Start winning. Watch Lamar Jackson. Watch how he acts at a press conference. Every press conference. Watch Dak. Every press conference. I was going to be nice this week. I wasn't even going to be critical.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, here's a big story. I'm going to go crazy on this. Mike Freeman's an NFL reporter. He said NFL teams reportedly have high interest in trading for Cam Newton. Eye roll. I'll believe it when I see it. He's old. He's distracted. He's beat up. And Carolina's winning without him. I don't think there's a big market for Cam Newton. In fact, what I think is funny is I think Teddy Bridgewater's sitting out there, and I would aggressively, if I was Chicago, go for Teddy Bridgewater. The perception is Cam Newton's way better than Teddy Bridgewater. Passer rating, historically, Teddy's is better. Completion percentage, Teddy way better. Win percentage, Teddy way better. One guy's got a better arm. Doesn't mean he's better. Jay Cutler had a great arm. It doesn't mean he's better than 90% of the guys he faced. Big arm. Joe Flacco had a big arm for a long time. I'm Chicago. I aggressively trade for a guy that just beat me last week. And I don't want to hear he's a system quarterback. This whole league, you know, outside of Aaron Rodgers is a system quarterback. Joe Montana was a system quarterback. Well, they can't throw the ball downfield. When's the last time a team won the Super Bowl that was known for throwing the ball down the field? You win because of defense. You win because of long drives. You win because of coaching and sustainability and situational football, not throwing bombs down the field. Drew Brees won a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning at the end of his career wasn't throwing the ball down the field. Brady hasn't thrown the ball big down the field in 7 years. Here's the thing. Number one, Drew Brees hurt his hand on a fluke play. His hand hit a helmet. He's coming back this week or off the bye. He didn't pull a hamstring. It's not a knee injury. It's not a back injury. It's not a shoulder injury where he may get hurt again. It was a completely fluke injury. Bang, hand popped. Drew Brees, Teddy B, your work's done here. It's over. Drew's going to start for the next 2.5 years. That's the first thing. So this was not like, you know, when Deshaun Watson comes off a surgery or that's not what this is. This is me literally missing a day of work because I walk out of the studio, bang my head on something, and I have a big black eye. I'm not going to do that more than like once in my career. That would be different than pulling an ACL playing tennis, which I'll probably do here in a couple months. It was a fluke injury. Teddy, your work's done. The second thing to think about here, and this is a real thing to think about. The 3 best NFL teams I've seen this year. San Francisco, New England, New Orleans. Well, San Francisco and New England at the trading deadline just made a move to get better. What are you doing? Is he going to sit there? Well, we're pretty good. Chicago cannot punt on this season. This defense is too good. This coach is too good. You can't punt on this season. What's Chicago, 3-3? You can't punt on the season. I mean, Green Bay looks like they'll win the division, but the wild card is wide open. Rams, I'm not even counting the Lions out, and they're 2-3-1, I think. I'm not even counting them out yet. Divisions, I think I know who's going to win the division, Green Bay. I think San Francisco is going to win their division. But you're in a dogfight, and we're halfway through the season. You're in a dogfight. Hell, Arizona's in it now. I don't think they'll last, but Seattle, Arizona, the Rams, Philadelphia, could be Dallas, Detroit, Minnesota. Can't punt the season with this team. This team's too good. And Teddy Bridgewater is a grown-up. You don't need a superstar quarterback with this defense and this coach. You need somebody to move the chains, not turn the ball over. That is exactly what Teddy Bridgewater does. High IQ, coachable, moves the chains, gets first downs, keeps the defense off the field, gets you field goals and a touchdown or two in a game, and you score 24 points. With that defense, very few teams not named New England in this sport are beating you if you score 24 points. And here's the other thing to worry about, and I'll get into this later. This defense in Chicago is about ready to quit on this offense. Okay, these all-time great defenses, there's a reason they last for about a year. You know, we have like the was it 85 Bears and the 2002 Buccaneers and the 2000 Ravens. You ever notice they're all like 1 year? Saxonville. Because the Jags defense eventually quit on Blake Bortles. They're like, we're over. We can't just literally be on the field all game. Those defenses continue to be good, but they're never as great. When you have a Bears defense like this, I watched that Saints game at the end of it. I think the Bears defense, you were seeing, it looked like a little bit of resentment. Like, we're over this. These defenses don't last forever, okay? The defensive coordinators go. You'll lose a top free agent or two. We're already seeing that with Chicago. Lost a defensive coordinator, lost a couple of free agents. You have an injury or two, and suddenly it's a good defense. It's not a great defense. Trading deadline is Tuesday. Saints, make a move. By the way, if you don't make a move, then Teddy's just a backup who in the offseason is going to go get paid somewhere, and you're going to get nothing for him. So get something for him. Go look at your roster and say, okay, we like this. Could we get a player? I mean, I'd go and try to get a player over a pick. If I could get a good player on New Orleans right now, I'd take that over a pick. Chicago may have an extra back. I mean, an extra linebacker. They draft a line, maybe an extra corner, whatever it is. But if I'm Chicago, I aggressively go for Teddy Bridgewater, not Cam Newton. And if I'm New Orleans, if I see any weakness on my – aren't Sean Payton and Drew Brees – you guys are in it now to win Super Bowls. Mickey Loomis, the GM. You guys aren't in it to win your division. Some of these teams in this league are in it to win their division. The Saints are in it to win Super Bowls now. You are not – look at San Francisco's roster. Okay, we're going to be playing them. You're New Orleans this morning. Think maybe you could use another offensive lineman? You don't think you could use a little offensive help? Because you're not going to throw the ball down the field with Drew Brees. Look at San Francisco and Green Bay. That's who you got to get through. Don't think you're going to use an extra player? Or you want to keep your backup quarterback?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, Kyrie Irving scored 50 points last night. This is why he left LeBron, why he left the Celtics. He wanted to be the man, and he was, and he lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves at home. Congratulations. This is what you wanted. Took one game. You got the most shots. You got the most points. You got the last shot. Congratulations. You the man. The Nets starting five in Brooklyn is Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, LeVert, what's that kid's name? Karis LeVert, Tayshaun Prince, Jared Allen, who had 6 points. So tiny, brittle Kyrie Irving. Yeah, Torian Prince, my bad on that. Sorry. I haven't watched a lot of their games the last couple of years. That's the starting five. Okay, so tiny, brittle Kyrie Irving can't do a load management here. You get that, right? He's got to play, 78 games, and he's got to play 38 minutes. Tiny, brittle Kyrie Irving. The NBA's got a weird thing going on. A, load management. Stars want nights off. And B, yet they want to be the man. Well, if you're going to be the man and you go to a team with a bunch of B-minus players, you can't take a lot of nights off. But Colin, when Kevin Durant comes back, you still won't be able to take nights off. Have you seen the Brooklyn roster? If Kyrie next year takes nights off and Kevin Durant's playing with Joe Harris, Jared Allen, you think that's a 60-win team? No, it is not. It is a non-playoff team in the West, and it's a 7 or an 8 seed in the East. You want to be the man, but you want load management. This is a thing in the NBA I don't get. That only works with one player, Kawhi Leonard. Why? Because right now he's the best player, and Kawhi was smart enough to look around the league and go, I want to go to a really, really, really deep team, i.e. like Toronto, where I can come in, and then I'll bring another star so I can take 15 days off. Load management works when your roster looked like Toronto last year or the Clippers this year. But on teams like that, you're not going to be the man. You're going to get a lot of shots, but Kawhi Leonard was smart. He's like, they won 48 games without me. Their young players are getting better. I'm going to come in, they're going to win 58, and I'm also going to bring a player just like me so when I'm off, we'll still win and have a number one seed. So load management, which I'm not a fan of, but for Kawhi Leonard, it works. Kawhi wasn't about being the man. Kawhi was about winning. Kawhi could have gone anywhere. He went to the Clippers because they won 48 without him, and he wouldn't even go to the Clippers with Doc Rivers and that great deep bench unless he said, Paul George has to come with me. I'm not coming there by myself. We know if Kawhi went there just by himself, they would have been a top four team for the title. So Kawhi was not about being the man. If he wanted to be the man, he could have gone to that deep Clipper roster and they would have won 58 games and been an absolute top four team for the championship. Not saying they'd win, but I'd take him over Milwaukee. I'd take him over Boston. I'd take him over Houston. I'd take him over Utah. I don't know if I'd take him over the Lakers. We'll see how that works out. But if you want to be the man in a load management era, then you better join a better roster. Because this load management thing doesn't work for Houston. If James Harden wants to take nights off, it's not the same team. It's not. LeBron wants to take nights off, and I don't think he will. It's not the same team. This whole thing with Kyrie wanted to be the man, but he's going to as a tiny, brittle guy with a bunch of B-minus guys around him. I don't watch a ton of Brooklyn Nets. I watch them in the playoffs. Watched one or two games last year. I don't know him. Ian Eagle does their play-by-play. He's great. The broadcast team went local broadcast team of the year every year. They're great. I don't watch a lot of their games, right? I don't watch a lot of Brooklyn Nets games. I don't. I watch like the top 10 teams in the league. But you got your 50, and you lost at home to Minnesota. But you better be there every night for this team. And even if you are, even when KD comes next year, you still better be there every night. Because if you take games off next year and Kevin Durant is the man on this team, that's not a playoff team in the West. And it's an average playoff team in the East. You're not going to be as good as Boston. Kevin Durant in that roster is not as good as Philadelphia. It's not as good as Milwaukee. I'm not sure it's as good as Toronto. It's not as good as Boston. I'm not sure it's as good as Indiana.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Brady Papenga, former NFL linebacker, Super Bowl champ with the Packers 9 years ago. I'm not going to ask you where you keep your Super Bowl ring. It's not on today.
Yeah, you know, my knuckles get a little swollen, honestly. And so taking it on and off, it's kind of abrasive because yep. They're so gawky, you know? They're not as big as the, who won the championship?
Raptors.
The Raptors. Oh, my goodness. Those things are like balls. But it's still big enough to where it's kind of difficult for my
Well, we know that you nickels. Are you are good friends with Aaron Rodgers, and I said this the other day. It's the happiest I've seen him. Now,
oh yeah,
Aaron wants to be the man. He doesn't want to be the only man. And I feel this with Tom Brady. The Patriots now, they've got a great defense.
Yeah.
They got a running game. Tom wants to come to the park and no, got to make a couple big throws.
Yeah.
Aaron, I felt a little bit, and I didn't blame him, a little bit of resentment with McCarthy that and the front office that, fellas, can't be a shootout every Sunday. I can't win every Sunday.
That's so true.
I think he looks really happy. That's what I see. He's laughing. He's joking. I don't sense, and I'm not, I've been tough on him, but I always felt like, does Aaron have to have a perfect passer rating to win? Now when he does, they win by 30.
Yeah.
Does he look happier to you?
Absolutely. And it's just more change, I think, is the biggest thing. Is he's got a new environment. It's a new culture. He's got a guy in there that he doesn't look at as like an authoritative figure. He looks at LaFleur like somebody who's on his same level. And so it's a little bit different dynamic when you go to work. You're going to kind of hang out with your bros instead of, okay, I got to go and I got to listen to this authoritative figure, which is not, it's not Mike's fault. I'm not trying to, you know, criticize Mike. It's just that was the dynamic.
Right.
Mike's that kind of figure to where he's going to control a room and he's going to put you in line. And now with LaFleur, it's almost like, all right, man, let's do our thing. What are we going to do? And there's new concepts they're implementing. And I think you hit the nail right on the head when you said that Aaron doesn't feel like he has to go out and win it every game.
I mean, he could, by
liberating.
The way, he did a lot.
Oh, absolutely. He's capable. But there's just some days where the ball doesn't fly out of your hands as smooth, where you're just a little off, and you need some help. And that kind of pressure where it's constant every single day to where you have to win, it just wears you out over time. And so he's in a new world because, like you said, he doesn't have to feel that way anymore. And so that's the new Aaron we see right now.
What I worry about with Kansas City is Mahomes does feel like my defense can't get people off the field.
Yeah.
And I think Mahomes is fine with it now, but if 4 years from now the Chiefs' defense didn't get better, Mahomes is like, bruh, I can't win 38-30 every week. So I worry. Kansas City, I think, is becoming Green Bay about before this year where they're asking Mahomes. Now, I said this earlier, and I've never been a pro athlete, but one of the things I like about the NFL is there's a badge of honor because of scarcity of games. You play hurt. And now I guess there was a Bears linebacker that's missed games for personal reasons. And again, what's happening at home, I'm not blaming anybody.
Yeah.
So but you hear it more in the NBA, load management, personal reasons. I think if Patrick is 80%, I think you got to play, right?
Well, the NFL, I mean, you look at just how guys take other guys' spots, especially entrenched quarterbacks. And the best example is Favre. And you look at when he was able to go and get his opportunity when he was kind of a wash-away second-round draft choice of the Atlanta Falcons, traded up to Green Bay. It's because Majakowski went down. And then you ask Favre, you say, hey, what was the main motivating factor between wanting to play all those games? Because there were more than enough games in Favre's streak to where he easily could have justified sitting out. But he didn't.
Because
it was that same thing. He's like, I don't want somebody taking my spot, but guess what happened? If you go to where Aaron took over for Brett, it was 2007, Thanksgiving night against the Dallas Cowboys. And I was there. I'll never forget this. And it's where Brett, he had this funny bone issue. So I think he hit somebody's helmet or something, and his hand went numb, and he could no longer grip the ball.
That was his thing, too.
And so he's on the sideline holding his arm, and we're down, I think, two, three touchdowns at the point. In trots Aaron Rodgers. That's when he had the long, flowy hair. And he just is on fire. I mean, he's scrambling all over the place, throwing the ball on the run. I mean, just dominating. I turned to Brett. I go, hey, your understudy's doing pretty good. We hadn't taken the lead yet. And he's like, oh, he's not there yet. He's doing good when we take the lead. So anyway, he goes and has an awesome game. But listen to this. Fast forward to Friday night. There's a social outing. And it just so happens to be that some of my friends and my wife's friends were the same friends as John Schneider, who at the time was the assistant general manager of the Green Bay Packers. Now he's the current general manager of Seattle Seahawks. And he starts sipping on some of that, you know, truth serum / alcohol. And we start talking. And he goes, Brady. And he's burping, you know, out these, like, yeasty belches as he's blowing him in my face. And I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? He's like, we're done with Favre. He's like, we got our guy. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking around. I'm like, how loud are you? You're kind of talking loud here. There's a lot of Packer people here. And he's like, oh, no, we're done. He's like, we got our guy in Aaron. We're done. And he's like, oh, by the way, you're going to get a contract extension. So I turn to my wife. I'm like, I guess I'm getting a contract extension. Fast forward to that Monday. He searches me out. And he goes up to me. He goes, Brady, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And he gives me that look and just walks away. And I'm like, fascinating. And so for the rest of the season, I'm just like, I guess they're moving on from Favre. And lo and behold, you know, the history is the history. But that's why, you know, nobody wants to take a day off. Nobody wants to take a start off. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, nobody's breathing down his neck. But you look at Breeze, that's a guy.
That's why he's going to
be negotiating his new deal. He was hoping before the season, man, I'm going to break $40 million a year. Now with, you know, Bridgewater going out playing the way he has over the last five games, there's no way he has that bargaining power anymore. And so, you know, you got to get back out on the field or you're going to lose your spot, potential money. So that's the reason why these guys won't sit out if they can make it happen.
Brady Papinga, a great storyteller, by the way. Was that great or what? That's why we bring
you
on.
You can almost smell the belches.
What'd you say? You called him the hoppy or the
yeasties.
The yeasty belches?
Oh my goodness!
Okay, Brady, let me ask you about this. I have this theory, and I'm gonna throw this out to you.
Okay.
If you look, be patient with me. Be kind.
Okay.
Talk about great defenses of all time, I have a theory on this.
Okay.
The great defenses of all time: the 2002 Bucks, the 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears, the 2017 Jacksonville Jags. We don't do this with offenses. We do this with defenses.
Uh-huh.
They're great for a year. And they're great for a year because the defensive coordinator gets hired for a job, a free agent leaves, and somebody gets hurt on defense because you blow stuff up.
Okay.
So my point is, this Bears defense is special. They already lost their DC.
Yeah.
They already lost the safety. Okay, I watched them Sunday. If you stick with Trubisky, those guys look like at the end of the game.
They got scorched, by the way.
Yeah, at the end of the game, though, I believe defenses don't last as long as a great offense, right? Because that's you have a quarterback, you have him forever. That a defense, you get about a 2 to 3 year window where it's great.
Yeah.
And I think the Bears, if they don't move off Trubisky, I think you're going to get resentment in that locker room.
Oh, you're right.
I saw it Sunday.
You're right. I mean, because it happened with the Broncos. If you remember them, when they were the reason why they won the Super Bowl. And they still had predominantly the same guys, same coaches. Everything was the same, but their offense was anemic. They couldn't move the ball, and they're having this Rolodex quarterback position. And eventually, and just coming from a perspective of the defender, you break. Because you know the reality. The reality is you're not going to shut out every team you play, okay? I mean, if you're a really good defense, you'll average giving up in today's era, what, 15 to 17 points a game if you're like one of the best in the league. And that still doesn't guarantee you victories. Even if you're only giving up, you know, 15 to 17 a game, your offense still has to go out and score points. So if you're looking across the field and you're seeing your offense just struggle, it demoralizes you as a defense. And that's exactly what's going on with Chicago. Plus, they play against Trubisky in practice. They know this guy is, you know, I'm not saying that he's fake and that he, you know, what he's done up until this point has been kind of like an aberration. I mean, he could still go out there and be functional. But there's no way he's not a Deshaun Watson. He's not a Patrick Mahomes.
He's the fourth best quarterback in his own division.
Exactly. He's not a franchise guy. He's just not. And unfortunately, they gave up a lot for him. He's drafted very high, so the expectations are there that he needs to be this franchise guy. And sometimes that's not the best position for some guys to be in. And that's absolutely the function of the Bears right now. They look across the field, and they see Trubisky, and they're like, I don't know if we can win this game. And I don't know, and this is where it's demoralizing for a defense, I don't know if we go out and have a dominant performance if it's going to be good enough.
And guys,
that's where it's tough.
And guys break.
Exactly.
Guys break.
Exactly.
Philadelphia, we had Greg Cosell on. Greg Cosell watches films.
Oh, yeah. I know Greg Cosell real well.
Really good.
He's phenomenal at what he does.
He's great. Yes. And so I said to him, and I said, listen, I whiffed. I wildly overvalued the Eagles' talent because I'm watching them in the first 2 weeks, and I'm like, nobody gets open. They have no pass rush, and they have the worst corners in the league.
Yeah.
And I think, and Greg said, you know, Wentz doesn't make plays, they don't make plays. But there is something Joy has talked about. We know Wentz is more talented than Foles, but Foles has a statue, and Wentz isn't winning. And there's going to be half that locker room. Guys are going to be like, we moved off the wrong guy, right?
Oh, Joy, you're so perceptive. Way to be.
Thank you.
Way to be. No, she hit the nail right on the head, and this is something I've been saying for years. If you want to check my Twitter account, at Brady Papinga, go for it. I said this as soon as Nick Foles won the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on.
I said, and he, by the way, won the Super Bowl MVP. I said, if somebody comes to the Eagles with an attractive enough package looking for Wentz, you take it. Because you got your guy. You got your guy. To me, it's all about winning Super Bowls. And if you got a guy that can come in and win the Super Bowl, be the reason why you did win the Super Bowl, which Foles was absolutely the reason why. He had a phenomenal game against a very good, if not great, Patriot defense. Just look at how many points they give up per year that year. They were one of the top in the NFL talking about the Patriot.
So you're
defense.
Saying Foles is better than Wentz?
I'll say it this way. If I have Foles and Wentz and I'm evaluating them and there's no team and there's no scheme and none of that dynamic, I take Wentz every time.
Yeah.
But in the situation where you have him mixed and matched and all that with Alshon Jeffrey, that offense, Doug Peterson, the chemistry and everything as it goes, that, yeah, Nick Foles is the best option for you at quarterback. Wow. So it was an organizational failure. They absolutely failed in doing one thing, valuing potential over productivity. You got to go always back to productivity. And the best thing is the contracts are set up now to where they could have been extra patient with Carson. They didn't have to jump the gun and, oh, give him this $100 million franchise quarterback. I know why they did. They didn't have to do that. They could have kept Nick Foles around. They could have had him play out his option year. And then if needed be, maybe start to play with the franchise tag or whatever. But to me, if you're the Eagles, I mean, I might just call Jacksonville Jaguars or at least call, you know, Nick Foles' doctor and say, hey, how's he feeling down there? And maybe try to get him back. Not maybe, no. Get him back because he's, like I said, he needs to be in Philadelphia. For that, to me, he gives them the best chance.
Lord.
What's the matter? And did I just blow your mind?
No, I like Wentz. I just think I look at
I like Wentz too.
They don't
he's
have any
dude.
Receivers that get open. Their backs are average.
Look, Alshon Jeffrey is the greatest example. What Foles would do, and this is what receivers love, is he would throw him open. I mean, just because a guy is covered in NFL, you don't throw him the ball. No, then you would never throw the ball. Most plays, especially if you play man press defense, most guys are not open. So you got to be able to throw him open. Wentz isn't at that level yet. Can he get there? Sure. Foles was there.
All the young quarterbacks, finally. Brady Papinga, if you're listening. Super Bowl champ, 8 years in the NFL, smart dude. BYUer, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
All the young quarterbacks, who do you like the most?
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Love his dual threat ability. To me, when I played against dual threat guys, they gave us by far the most fits. And so as I'm seeing that become more of a theme throughout the NFL, that's exciting because it's true to what ultimately presses all the hot buttons of a defense. But to me, Deshaun just – his clutch play has been phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
When his team's down and they just need him to make big throws, and I mean, he throws just frozen ropes on the run – he's, you know, really elusive in the pocket, buying time. Those things that just as a defense, you're just like, okay, dude, just we'll just try to contain you. We don't think we can stop you. We'll just try to, you know, hold things kind of close, and hopefully our offense can pull something off. And that's the guy to who I see right now that's the head of the class.
By the way, when are the Packers having a bye? You and Aaron could hang out, go have a piece of sushi over there in Nobu in Malibu.
Nobu's great, by the way.
It's fantastic. Oh, yeah, I've never been there. I've heard it wonderful things.
Just be careful, though. If you sit on their, I don't know what they call it. There's a special name. It's like a balcony.
Yeah.
They yell this little, I think it's like a Japanese saying as they go in and out. And if you're too close to them, it gives you a headache.
Excellent.
A little insane.
You ever gone to Yelp with that thing?
No. I know the owner, Nobu, by the way. He's a great guy. I've worked with him in the past with some fitness stuff. So he's phenomenal. He does great stuff. Really nice guy. But I'm trying to kill him. If you don't like that, just talk to the manager and say, hey, they don't have to keep yelling that every time they come over here.
Love having you on, man.
It's always a pleasure, man.
You're really smart and thoughtful. Thank you. And I didn't like the Wentz thing, but, you know, sometimes, whatever.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. Ready to make some sweet cash? Colin's going to give you his three sure bets for the college football weekend. It's time for the Fox Bet Marquee 3, Wisconsin at Ohio State.
Take the Badgers plus 14 to cover. They're 8-0 following a loss in the last 3 years. Paul Chryst is a great coach, especially after losses. Listen, they were looking ahead to Ohio State and got caught off guard. They lead the nation, does Wisconsin, in time of possession. They'll keep it away for stretches outside of the hands of Ohio State's offense. And don't, despite the loss, Wisconsin's defense is ridiculous. They're number one in the country in a bunch of different stats. Points, yards, yards per play, third down percentage. They're fantastic. Their quarterback, Jack Cohen, leads the Big Ten in completion percentage. They lead the nation in time of percentage. Listen, they got a great running game, 2 to 3 pros on the O-line. Jonathan Taylor's a world-class back. They complete passes. They're going to lose this game, I believe. Ohio State has special playmakers. They'll go over the top to win it. But Wisconsin will be in this football game. Don't overreact to Wisconsin being upset looking ahead. Ohio State wins 30-20. but I think Wisconsin covers and moves the ball on the Buckeyes defense.
Auburn at LSU.
Blowout, baby. I'm taking LSU minus 10.5. Joe Burrow is having, he may win the Heisman. He may be a first top five pick now. LSU finally throws the ball, and Joe Burrow, the quarterback, has been sensational. He was a backup at Ohio State. LSU's also great in big games, 6-1 in their last 7 against top 10 teams. And Auburn's quarterback is a mess. Bo Nix, freshman, against top 30 scoring defenses this year. He's terrible. This is going to be a complete mismatch. Listen, Florida played almost perfect against LSU. They played great and lost by 2 touchdowns. Auburn's going to get overwhelmed. Auburn never wins this game in Death Valley. LSU wins it comfortably 36-20.
Notre Dame at Michigan.
I'm going to just hear me out. Michigan plus 1. Michigan's going to upset Notre Dame this week. They lost to Penn State, but they played a great second half. They dominated Penn State on the road in the second half at over 150 more yards. They also, Michigan has 18 sacks in the last 4 games. They now have a pass rush. Now, Notre Dame has a good offense, but they played one great defense this year, Georgia. And did you watch what happened? Notre Dame does not have the perimeter weapons or the running back to make plays against the top defense. And Michigan's defense now is humming. So, again, remember, this is in Michigan. If you take out the Buckeyes and the Spartans, the rivals, Michigan wins home games. I think they're like 25-0 with Harbaugh at home besides the Buckeyes and the Spartans. They've won 11 straight at home. And again, 400-plus yards in back-to-back games. So Michigan's getting their act together. I'm calling for an upset. Notre Dame's faced one good defense all year, Georgia. They struggled making big plays. Ian Book was not as good. I know you think I'm nuts. Goulet is rolling his eyes at me. Michigan upsets Notre Dame 27-26. Joy is rolling her eyes at me right now.
You know what? If that's what you feel, Colin.
Ann Arbor, they win there, except for the Buckeyes. So I'm going to take. Wisconsin's going to keep it close against Ohio State, close being 7-10 points.
You always say aggressive wins.
Yeah, and Wisconsin, by the way, time of possession. I'll take LSU to blow out Auburn. Florida played great against LSU, and they still box theirs. They're great. LSU's great. LSU could be the best team in the country. I don't think they are, but they could be. Well, now that Tua is hurt, they may be the best team in the country. When Tua is healthy, they're not. He's hurt. They probably are.
How many times are you going to fall for Michigan?
Hey, I'm not falling for
him. Didn't you say you were done falling for Michigan?
You guys keep saying I'm falling for Michigan. It's like one of those Nigerian email scams. I'm not falling for them. They win all their home games, unless they're playing the Buckeyes or Spartans. They win all of them, and they're getting points. You guys make it sound like this is one of those calls you get in the middle of the night. Can I have your credit card number? Sure. I don't know who you are. You're a random guy from New Brunswick, Georgia. Here's all my information. Yeah, I'm not falling for it. They're going to win.